The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Joe Hoff dialing in from the U.S. of A., and it is 10 o'clock at night here where I'm at. And just wanted to say welcome. I hope you're having a great day or evening, and I hope you really enjoy the show tonight. I've got a great show lined up. I'm sitting in for Steve Malzberg today, and did a couple of nights last week as well. And I've got a couple nights next week as well. So thanks for listening in. Thanks for your patience with this, because it's really a lot of fun to be here with you. There's so much to talk about today. We've got all sorts of news. Some of you may know who I am. My name's Joe Hoft. I write for my twin brother Jim at the Gateway Pundit. Together, we've written a number of stories, especially since the 2020 election. Actually, since 2016 election, I had a full time position in Hong Kong as an executive corporate individual at a major Fortune 500 company there, and over the past decade or so. And at the same time, I was writing for my brother Jim at the Gateway Pundit, starting in about 2016 when President Trump decided to run for office. So I've mentioned this before. I guess last week when I dialed in, we had the big hurricane here in Florida, and things are much better here now, although where I'm at, I never really got hit very hard by the typhoon, by the hurricane. In Hong Kong, we call them typhoons. And but the people on the western side of Florida really got hit hard. So God bless them, and our prayers to them tonight and for the days going forward. There's so much to talk about. I wanted to share, though, and let you know to get ready, because we've got a great guest coming in here in a very short period of time. Her name is Christina Bob, and Christina Bob has got a resume a mile long, and she's a young, beautiful girl. And you may know her from the station in the States, OAN. And she was a correspondent there. She was on the that network all the time. An attractive lady, but very bright. The thing I didn't know about her when I first met her was that she's an attorney. And not only that, she has like three masters and has a heck of a resume. And I wanted to bring something up about her, because we heard about this some time ago. Christina now, as she used to be at OAN, and she left there recently, I'd say within the last year, and went to work for President Trump. And like I said, she's an attorney, and she will be with us here in moments. And but she was at Mar-a-Lago when the FBI raided the president's home and stole the documents from his home. She was the individual, you may recall, if you read the news at the time, a lot of us were all shocked about this. I actually drove down there that night and just to see what was going on. And I got to tell you, and I shared this with somebody the other day, and he's a conservative, but he says, oh, we can't get Trump in there. And I said, no, we absolutely need Trump in there, because we cannot give up on our candidates just because the evil, nasty, satanic, pedophilia type of media that backs all these monsters because they don't like our candidate. No, we have to stand behind our candidate. And that's exactly what happened with President Trump. He won the election in 2016 with 63 million votes. He increased that lead by like 12 million. He had 75 million votes in the 2020 election. And he blew it away. He blew away that election. Joe Biden, who couldn't get out of his basement, they awarded 81 million votes. This is 3 days after the election. So it was totally stolen. I've written two books on this, and I encourage you to go out there and get them if you have the chance. And I hope to talk to Christina about this here shortly. But anyways, I talk about the steal. I've got Steele Volume 1, which is setting the stage, those things that occurred before the election, and then Volume 2, which is about the impossible occurring, and all these just absolute anomalies, and all of these, the fraud and the criminal acts that were performed, not just by the Democrats, not just by that group of really satanic people today, but also by the elites in the Republican Party. They didn't like President Trump either. And I highlight this in my book. I've got another volume that I haven't really jumped into wholeheartedly yet, but that volume is going to be the cover up, and it'll be volume 3. And I'm going to blow you away with information that I know firsthand that's never been reported. That's about the skunks that were involved in covering up this massive fraud. And I mean, today, the average American has no idea what's going on, although they might have a friend to say, no, that thing was stolen. At least they've probably heard that. Thank God for word of mouth, because the word's getting around that election was stolen. Joe Biden, there's no way the guy got 81 million. I mean, you show me one liberal that can say, yeah, Joe Biden got 81 million votes. No, absolutely not. That clown was lucky to get 60 million. So we know there was massive fraud in that election, and we're going to talk about that. We hope to talk about that with Christina. But this same group of people that created the Russia collusion lie, the whole thing was a lie. They talked about it every day in our media, shared it around the world, CNN around the world. For those listening in Australia or New Zealand, you know what I'm talking about. Every day, and the rest of the world would laugh at Trump and make fun of Trump. And all that. And I heard in the news right before this session, they're talking about Trump's case with CNN. There is some people that believe that this case has a lot of merit. President Trump, if what he can do is go into CNN, and it's a civil suit, he can go in and start grabbing their documents. And he's going to find what we all know. He's going to find that they had a plan to set up Trump. We knew this from leaks coming out of CNN. They even talked about it. Some of these guys, like James O'Keefe and his gang, had a couple of these guys from CNN come out saying, oh yeah, we know that everything's about Trump right now. And then it's going to change to COVID, and it's going to be the 2020 election. And we're going to call anybody that says the election was stolen a liar. We're not going to let that even on the air. We're not even going to share. We're going to keep it silent. It's going to be crickets. And we're going to work with the rest of the media. And together we're going to shut down that message. Which is what they have done. And we're going to work with big tech, and we're going to work with these entities that aren't government entities, but they're working for the Democratic Party, and they're getting tax dollars, basically, because they don't have to pay taxes because they claim that they're nonprofit, which in the U.S. means you have to be non-biased. But these entities are totally biased, and they are totally for the Democrats. And we're gonna steal this election, and we're gonna then make fun of Trump. We're gonna set up Trump on January 6th. And man, you if you're new to this and you're hearing this, you're saying, what sort of crazy garbage is this? I'm telling you, every word is factual. Go and buy my book, The Steal. You can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, The Steal by Joe Hoft. I've got 2 volumes now. And I'm telling you, when the volume 3 comes out, it's gonna blow you away with the information I have. It will shock you when you hear of the people that worked with the establishment, with the elites, with the World Economic Forum to get Trump out of power, because they hated Trump. He stood for God, home, and family, just like that new prime minister in Italy. That's Trump. He stood for that. He stood for individual freedom, which is everything that these monsters don't like. Tonight in the U.S., on Fox News, Tucker Carlson had on this Bobulowski, I think is how you say his name. He worked with the Bidens. He comes out and says tonight that he was working with the Bidens in China. He said they were thinking they were going to make billions off of China, they being the Biden family. And they maybe have. And we know the Clintons made money. We know Obama made money, although Obama's been very well protected. Think about that. That guy's been so protected. It's really scary to me, that thing about Obama. There's something really eerie there and really sick, and in my opinion, very satanic going on there, because this guy, he's not clean at all. His policies were destructive of America, which is what they're doing now. Anyways, the steal goes on, and I'll flip back to what I was talking about earlier. I drove down to Mar-a-Lago a month and a half, when I heard that my president's home was raided by this corrupt FBI, the same group of people that made up the Russia collusion thing, lied about it, tried to perform a coup d'etat of the Trump administration, tried to get him out of power. They did everything they could to throw at him. They were thinking he'd be weak and walk away. Instead, he was strong. And the
greater miracle was that the people behind him were strong and just as strong as him. And we admired the fact that he stood up against these animals. We admired the fact that he called CNN fake news. We admired that because these people were lying every day. And that was President Trump. And that's why his numbers increased. The largest increase in U.S. history for a president. The most votes for any president ever by far. The most legitimate votes by any candidate ever by far. The record before 2020 was Obama in 2008 with 69 million votes. Trump crushed that. And we're trying, and they're going to tell us that Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama, that Joe Biden got more votes than even Hillary Clinton at 65 million in 2016. No way. We all know it's garbage. Every one of those votes was made up. And this is, and I tell you what, we got the 2022 election coming up here, and I fear that they're going to do it again. And why wouldn't they? And why would they stop? Why would they say, oh, we're just going to take this time off? We're going to give the Republicans power. What sort of insanity is that? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and pretending like nothing, you know, that you can do that. It's expecting different results. It ain't gonna happen. So we got to prepare for this. There's a lot to talk about. But I go down to I'm jumping all over. I go down to Mar-a-Lago, and I see in front of my president's home a big SUV van and two people on each side with machine guns. And I shared this with a buddy of mine the other day. He said, "Joe, that blew me away when you told me that." He told me that the next day. This New Yorker, this old gentleman from New York, said, "Joe, I was blown away when you said that. I haven't been a Trump supporter, but I can see what you mean. We have to stand behind this guy. I never in my life thought I'd see FBI agents blocking the home, the driveway of my president, of our president." And that's what I saw in Mar-a-Lago. And I tell you what, Christina Bob, who's going to be with here us shortly, she was there. She was there all day. They made her stand outside in the 90-some degree heat. They wouldn't even let her sit in one of the offices in Mar-a-Lago. It's a huge complex, huge. It's beautiful. It's a palace. And these FBI agents went through it, and they went through Melania's stuff, and they went through Trump's son's stuff, and threw this stuff on the floor, and just treated it like garbage. This is what they think of our president. This is who's in charge of our country right now. The same people that made up Russia collusion. The same people that gave Afghanistan to the Taliban, the same people that do everything every day that only makes China happy, the same people that are sending billions over to Ukraine, where we don't even know where that money's going anymore. There's so much money going over there. The same people that have destroyed our U.S. economy and the world economy, for that matter. We're seeing some of the worst numbers ever. This year, right now, even the last 2 days, we've had about 800-point increases in the Dow. Even with that, this is the worst year in U.S. history for the Dow, the major measurement of the U.S. stock market. And so things are in horrible shape due to these monsters that then stole the election, that probably will absolutely steal the next election. So I guess we've got Christina here. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back with Christina. And wait till you hear what she has to share tonight. She's the best, and I can't wait to have her on here. So hang tight. We're going to have a quick break.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
I'm sure listeners to this program know that there was warrants that I've never seen in England for me, you know, been one of the organizers of the first Trafalgar Square, right? Which I did in order to exercise our inalienable rights of freedom of travel and freedom of speech and freedom for people to hear health information, to keep them alive, right, from nurses and doctors. And also there is currently a warrant out that I've also never seen for traveling from Dublin Airport after speaking in Edinburgh to go home to my child at the time. And they want to put me in prison for six times for 6 months each for just going to the airport and returning home, having given health information that proved to be accurate. So I think what's very interesting, because also what we saw in Trafalgar Square was shocking. If you were there, particularly, well, a lot of times, but the first time, there was over 800 Robocops that just came in to a peaceful, beautiful, sunny day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon with 40, 50,000 people. And literally, they just with Robocops started beating up men, women, and children, right?
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff back, filling in for Steve tonight. And thank you for joining us. Tonight we have, like I mentioned earlier, we've got an incredible guest. We have Christina Bob with us, President Trump's attorney. Christina, welcome to the Steve Malzberg Show.
Hey, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for dialing in. I know it's late. By the way, you sound so clear. You're like you're sitting right next to me or something. So,
oh, good. So,
yeah, great to have you here. I was going to bring up one thing, right, as to kind of semi-introduce you here, I guess, really. A couple weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago or so, as we know, we're not going to talk a lot about this tonight, but President Trump's home was raided by the FBI. They came in and stole a bunch of documents from the president at his home in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And there was one individual there that signed off for these documents representing the president. And that was Christina Bob, who's with us. And feel free to correct me on any of this. But afterwards, CNN, and we're talking about CNN earlier about how Trump's suing them, and they are just monsters. They've been so horrible. I never see anybody do the things that Jim Acosta did in Singapore. I was in Hong Kong at the time, and I saw him just interrupt the president when he was with this historic meeting with the head of North Korea and Rocket Man. And I just never expected in my life I'd see so much lack of respect from one of our media. And that was Jim Acosta. I thought he should have been arrested at that point in time. But anyways, yeah, that's CNN.
I think the American public have realized that CNN basically has become a leftist propaganda machine. I think they're trying to do what they can to salvage their reputation. I don't know if they'll be successful at that or not, they certainly have become a leftist propaganda.
And Anderson Cooper, after this incident in Mar-a-Lago, they was making fun of the fact that you worked at OAN, ha ha ha, blah blah blah. and then OAN came out with this great comparison. They compared you to Anderson Cooper, and they show your pictures too. And by the way, for you listening, I have a radio face. Christina doesn't. Christina has a TV face.
No, you're too nice.
She's really attractive, and Anderson Cooper's not a bad looking guy. But that you compare the education. Anderson Cooper, BA in political science. Christina, BA in English linguistics. But advanced degrees, nothing for Anderson Cooper. Christina's got three advanced degrees, including her law degree. Military service, none for Anderson Cooper. Christina was in the U.S. Marines. Rank and locations, none for Cooper. Christina, judge advocate, so a JAG officer, a captain in our U.S. military. Executive branch, Anderson Cooper, none. Christina Bob, who's worked here now for President Trump. So just that, you know, it's just laughable what CNN does when you throw the truth in their face. But
yeah, it was really nice. I was really grateful that OAN put that out. I thought that was a nice little retort to Anderson snubbing all of us, really snubbing me, snubbing OAN, just thinking, you know, because you're not a Vanderbilt, you're not worthy of you know, being listened to. But,
Yeah, what a joke. I mean, the CNN's been such a joke, but we could probably talk about them for hours too. But I was thinking maybe, you know, there's so much to talk about. We're going to probably stay away from the Mar-a-Lago stuff because I know you're involved. And, you know, for example, you signed off on some of those documents that day or the whatever, not the documents, but the, I guess the list or whatever garbage.
Right, the warrant. Those monsters.
Yeah. But anyways, maybe maybe something that we could talk about is what's led up to all this, which is the 2020 steal. I know you know so much about it.
Yeah. And, you and I have talked a lot about this. I think, I think, you know, speaking of CNN and mainstream media, I think they tried really hard to chug along and roll right past it. They hated Donald Trump. They hated what he represented, which is returning power back to the American people and, you know, making sure that the American people have all of their rights. And they didn't, you know, mainstream media didn't want that. So they tried to roll right past it. But thanks to outlets like One America News and the Gateway Pundit, you know, we didn't give up on that story. We kept digging into it. And I think now, especially with Joe Biden's performance, I think there's a lot of people looking back going, you know, maybe that election was stolen. I think there's a lot of people who didn't want to look at it early on. You know, they didn't want to acknowledge the gargantuan problem that we were facing. But now they're kind of forced to just because of the state of the world, really.
Yeah. I mean, the destruction, not just of the U.S., but of the world
because
of this administration. So what were the things that were most shocking to you about the election?
Well, I think the thing that shocked me the most about it is I thought it was so there were so obviously problems with it. Like to come out and say it was stolen the night of November 3rd, I suspected that. I thought that. Obviously, I still think that. But at the very least, even if you didn't want to say, oh, they rigged the election, at the very least, any objective person would have had to go, okay, wait, there's something weird here. Donald Trump was winning by millions of votes around the country going into midnight of November 3rd and into the early morning of November 4th. The liberals all say, oh, we're going to stop counting. We're going to stop counting. They shut everything down. They kick all the Republicans out. Don't let anybody watch the rest of, you know, don't allow for observers on the Republican side, on the conservative side. We have video of trucks coming in, dropping off additional ballots. And then suddenly 3 days later, they go, oh, look, Biden won the election. Like, there's nothing about that that seems legitimate. And yet no one was, not no one, you know, very few people, you, me, you know, Gary Pundit, OAN, a few others. Nobody wanted to acknowledge what I thought was glaringly obvious. It was, oh, wait a second, this is obviously weird at the very least. Let's take a closer look. And nobody wanted to do it. I think that's what shocked me the most.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I as you know, I just finished my second book on the steal, which was really about the, you know, that period of time. First book was on fantastic. Leading up to that.
Everybody get it. Everybody should check it out. And,
thanks.
Read thanks it closely. So much.
Well, I tell you, the thing that many things, you know, grab me. But as I look back today, the thing that really grabs me is there was always this push. We got to get it done. We got to get it done now. We got to get it done now. We got to get it done. And yet, as I went back and I looked at all these various areas, there wasn't a single area where these results should have been certified. Throughout process, everything, nothing was left somebody with warm fuzzies at all.
No, especially Michigan. I mean, the Michigan County canvassers even said, you know, in Wayne County said, we can't certify these results. They don't match. The books don't reconcile. And the Secretary of State did it anyway.
I mean, corrupt Secretary of State, the George Soros backed suburb Secretary of State. Yeah.
Benson, yeah. Jocelyn Benson. And that's why we need Christina Cuomo in there. Vote November 8th for Christina Cuomo.
Yeah.
Here in Michigan.
You're right. Yeah. But it was, but there was some, that was the planning ahead of time. Soros gets all these secretaries of states in all these key states. He gets these, you know, the machines around
Secretary
the country.
Of State, district attorneys. That's another thing. Like these district attorneys that, you know, I believed were Republican. I mean, I don't know. Some of them are probably Soros backed, but I don't know. I can't even say that. But at the very least, they're not doing their jobs. I mean, the Racine County Sheriff referred charges to the Republican District Attorney of Racine saying crimes were committed. There was elder abuse involved in ballot harvesting in our nursing homes. And he referred specific charges against five specific Wisconsin officials. And the Racine District Attorney, Republican Patricia Hansen, said, oh, you know, I don't have jurisdiction to prosecute. like, why is she an
and
author?
Absolutely she does. I mean, that is her job.
Of course she does. If she doesn't have jurisdiction to prosecute, who does?
I know. I was thinking about
She's
that
the district
too.
Attorney in Racine. Yeah. Crimes were committed in Racine. The sheriff says crimes were committed in Racine. Why are you going to prosecute?
Yeah. And there's this effort to get the sheriffs on board that Michael Lindell's doing, which is, you know, which is great. But somebody said to me, well, yeah, but you got to get these prosecutors to, you know, to
the DAs. Get yeah. These so a lot of them are
get these indictments.
You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so a lot of these DAs are up for re-election in 2023. So certainly after the midterms, I'm going to turn my focus on the DA races and clean out as many of them as I can. Because what they're doing, I mean, what's the difference between defunding the police and not prosecuting crimes? I mean, it's the same result, right? If you don't prosecute the crimes that the police find, there's no point in having police. It effectively the same result as defunding the police. It just takes a little bit longer for the case to get purged in the system. So these Republicans that aren't prosecuting, you know well, Gateway Pundit covered it well, Mark Brnovich in Arizona, the Arizona Attorney General, there's plenty of crimes committed. True the Vote has video of Arizona ballot harvesting and stuffing, and they've got, you know, the cell phone data and all that. And the Arizona Attorney General, who is an elected Republican, didn't prosecute any of it. I mean, he says, oh, I prosecuted a few low-hanging fruit cases, which nobody cares about. But he didn't go after the organization. Why? He's a Republican. Why didn't he do it? Carr in Georgia, the Republican Attorney General in Georgia, didn't go after all of the crimes committed in Georgia. I mean, we could go on and on about all of these Republicans that aren't doing their job. And that's largely why what happened in 2020 was allowed to occur, because all of these people that committed crimes, all these Secretary of States that took the law into their own hands and flatly broke the law, knew there wouldn't be any consequences because they knew that these attorney generals and district attorneys weren't going to do anything.
It takes your breath away. You know, even now, here we are almost 2 years later, it still takes your breath away. I'm just so appalled by just how much corruption we have. And then what, you know, so what do you think is going to happen in 2022?
I think there's going to be a red wave. I do. I think we have secured the elections enough, not as much as I would like. Certainly not all the corruption is gone. But they had several advantages in 2020 that they don't have in 2022, and I think that makes the difference. 2020 people, you know, I don't even want to say conservatives. I just mean honest Americans, you know, who care about election integrity, weren't involved. They weren't engaged. They weren't paying attention. They weren't thinking about fraud. You know, they didn't care about all the mail-in ballots. So they weren't engaged, but that changed after 2020. And then when the left got so radical, you know, parents got concerned. We saw in 2021, Virginia was a great example. There was this huge movement of people to get involved in Virginia. And I think we're seeing that around the country. So that's the biggest thing. Anybody who's listening to this, who's concerned about their local elections to make sure the elections in their state are secure, the best thing you can do is volunteer to be a poll worker. Volunteer to observe or become an actual election worker, a paid employee of your county, and actually work the polls. That's even better. So I think that's a huge advantage that they had in 2020 that they no longer have. There have also been some laws changed in different states. For example, Wisconsin, the Supreme Court confirmed that drop boxes are illegal. They can't be used. So they're not going to be able to use drop boxes in Wisconsin. You know, there's just been so much activity around it that I think we've secured enough that you know, conservative. I hate saying conservatives because it's not even a conservative issue. It's just an American issue. But I think American patriots will win. I think there will be a red wave. And then 2023, we clean out a little bit more. 2024, we clean out a little bit more. I mean, that's how you drain the swamp. You know, you got to just get rid of it and get rid of it. You know, for example, in Arizona, Abe Hamadeh is running for attorney general there. He'll clean out the election crimes. Like, he'll prosecute crimes. So, you know, you get folks in that start prosecuting, and little by little, you just clean it out.
That's real hopeful. That's great. You know, great assessment. I'm at times I'm a little, I guess I'm negative.
Well, it's easy to be negative in this environment.
Well, I mean, You know, and it's like that old saying, and I said it here earlier, it's like insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting different results. I guess your point is we've changed a lot, and you're more involved with that than anybody. You've been around the country, and I knew that. I learned that from my corporate days. I would go and visit these branches, maybe isolated branches around the world for this corporation that I worked for. And you learned so much from just sitting down and talking to people that would blow you away. Just conversation. You've learned so much about what's going on. And I was an auditor at the time. So I would just pick up stuff all over the place that was just really good information. And so you've done that with the election. You've been in, you spent, I guess, probably months in Arizona.
Yeah.
And some of these
it's
other
funny.
Places,
Arizona's my home state. I grew up there. I went to high school and college there. And it was funny. I felt like I had moved back. I spent so much time.
Well, you almost had. Yeah.
Yeah.
You almost
had. I actually asked my accountant if I could file my taxes in Arizona because I didn't want to pay the DC taxes.
Yeah.
He was like, no, you weren't there that long.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, that's too bad. No, you know, one thing that hit me here recently, I learned from somebody about Arizona and about that audit, is they said that on day three, and I talked to this guy, and he was on the floor there in that auditorium that you spent a lot of time at. And anyways, he was a part of one of these groups, one of those colored groups on the floor. And he said that by day three, every single box that they opened, their job was to count the ballots or something. Every single box, without exception, like 13 pallets in a row, had been opened, and the seals were broke.
The evidence logs didn't match what was actually in the box. Like the number of ballots, there was discrepancies. A lot of the boxes had more ballots. Some of the boxes were missing ballots. Clearly, somebody had gone through all of those boxes and made changes to the contents prior to the audit, which that in and of itself should have been alarming to everybody and said, hey, we need to invalidate this election because clearly there was tampering.
Well, that's it. That's what hit me from an audience perspective. When I heard that, and it really hit me, and I guess I went back and I saw that Karen Fan had said something. Somebody at the Gateway Pundit wrote about it. I didn't write about it, so I didn't pay attention at the time. But from an auditing perspective, if you're in an audit, if I'm in an audit in the corporate world and I walk in and all the boxes are open, they're supposed to be sealed. Well, I just, you know, after 3 days,
right there.
I'm done. I am so done. Yeah. And instead, they kept going for months almost looking
at
these ballots.
They did put a letter out. So after that was in May. And at the end of May, like right when they found that, you know, when they concluded that all of the boxes had been tampered with, Karen Fan issued a letter. I think it was May 12th.
She put a letter out saying,
hey, there's all of these problems.
Yeah, and that was kind of hidden in there, though, almost even, too. It wasn't highlighted.
Well, I think that's the media's fault, right? I mean, the president of the Senate issued a formal letter to the county saying, explain yourself why. You know, why does your audit or, you know, why does your election suck? All of the records suck.
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
what happened to the evidence?
But here was my point. If from an auditing perspective, knowing that, I would have said, you know, just based on doing 300 audits around the world, knowing that, I would have said, we cannot make any assertions on these ballots at all. And on day three, we could have said that, could have saved a lot of time and effort. And yet there wasn't really somebody there to just stand up and say, enough, this isn't right. We can't make a judgment on it. Let's move on. We'll look at the IT stuff and then we'll be done. And the other thing that grabbed me about that audit, looking back, and you were there, so you know more about this than anybody, but was that the fact that they didn't allow the signature verification match. Because that was everything, because it looked like they basically had shut that off in Arizona.
Yeah, they did. The signature verification didn't occur effectively. I mean, I think Dr. Shiva went through that analysis pretty thoroughly. They shut it down. It was non-existent for the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, there was lots of problems.
Shocking stuff.
But I think, sorry.
Yeah. No, just shocking stuff. It's just shocking.
But
even the audit was shocking.
Doing well, you're right. It revealed a lot of really bad activity in Arizona
And, you know, and then, of course, the media says, oh, the audit proves that Biden won. That is not at all what the audit said. Like, it didn't even come close to saying that. And there were a lot of discrepancies that were noted that the media overlooked. But
That was a lie because it never should have been said because you couldn't count on it. They based it on the ballots that we know were unsealed and they couldn't count on it.
Somebody clearly
just total lie.
It was a complete lie. But I think Arizona, just for, you know, anybody listening that is concerned about Arizona, I actually think Arizona is going to recover from this. I think they're going to do really well in November. I think there's going to be massive red wave through Arizona. And I actually think Arizona is going to become kind of a prominent state in the country. I think it's going to step up. You know, Carrie Lake will be a phenomenal governor. Abe Hamadeh will be a great attorney general. Blake Masters will be a great U.S. senator. I think he'll have a pretty large platform right at the get-go because everyone's looking at him. Even right now, I mean, now he's got a good platform. Mark Fincham is Secretary of State. I just see those great people, all really good people in really key positions. And I think with those people in office, I see Arizona becoming a really influential state.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to kind of set the tone for the rest of the country.
That's all we want, just free and fair elections. Now, I tell you what if more of the monkey stuff, and like Nancy Pelosi came out today and said, we're going to win. We're going to win the House. We're going to gain seats. Yeah, I saw that.
Well, it's, you know, because she knows the only people that listen to, I think, was it Stephen Colbert or which show? I don't remember which show she was on when she said that, but it's they're counting on the viewers of those shows to be uninformed. Because anybody who's halfway remotely informed about what's going on in the world knows that that's a blatant lie. So the only way she can say that with any level of like having any type of impact is if her viewers are uninformed. And I don't know if you saw the story. It came out probably about a week ago. I put it on my Instagram and Twitter and Truth and all that. But Nancy Pelosi went to a concert in New York and got booed off stage. Mm,
yeah. Isn't that something?
Like, I don't think anybody's buying her BS anymore.
Oh, she's so disgusting. I just think satanic. The lady's so evil. She's just gross.
Yeah.
I told my daughter that years ago. I was in Hong Kong. I said, the only thing keeping her alive is the demons within her. That lady is just nasty. Oh, she's nasty.
She's clearly out for herself. She doesn't care about her constituents. Mm. She doesn't care about the American people. And she doesn't care that she's destroying our country. She gets pleasure out of it. She's like a sick, twisted person.
I think these people do. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you could not do things worse than what's going on right now. Mm-mm. And people, that's not just political. That is a fact. The markets are as low as ever today. That just hours ago, the U.S. national debt surpassed $31 trillion for the first time ever. Well, you know, right that's now crazy. It's like we'll never pay that off, and inflation's 40-year high. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It's just the economy's destroyed. We give billions to the Taliban. We've got just corruption all over our Justice Department and our judiciary. You know, it's just a mess right now.
Yeah, it is a mess. We're cleaning it up, though. I think we'll get it cleaned up. You know, it's going to take a few election cycles and a few prosecutions.
Yeah,
but I think we'll get it cleaned up and we'll get our country back. And we will see a very, very prosperous United States in our lifetime. I think it will be more prosperous, more free, and, you know, fair and all of that stuff than at least I've ever seen in my lifetime. I really think that that's where we're going. We have to fight for it. Obviously, it's not going to be easy, but I think we are doing that. And I think as long as we continue to push the way we're pushing, I do see a very prosperous future for our country ahead.
God, that's just awesome. Is this the way that President Trump talks? Is he optimistic like this?
I mean, I don't think he would be doing what he's doing and going through everything he's going through if he didn't believe in restoring America. Yeah, 100%. I think at his core, he sees what America is supposed to be, and that's what he's fighting for. I mean, I don't know how you fight everything he's fighting without seeing that vision, you know?
That's brilliant. Thank you. That's great. Yeah. I mean, so many people want to know what it's like. What's it like to walk in the room with President Trump?
He is so relatable. It's really funny. You know, the first few times I got the opportunity to like meet him in person and, you know, have a in-person conversation with him, you know, you're always nervous and excited and kind of what's it going to be like? And it's just so easy. He's so easy to be around. He's not pretentious. I know that sounds funny because he can talk a big game in the press, but in person, like he's really not pretentious. He's just a very kind person who I think relates well to most Americans, which is interesting to me considering his background is so different from most Americans, but he's very, very easy and comfortable to talk to.
What an honor. What an honor. How did you pinch yourself some days that you're working with
him? Yeah, every time. It never gets old. There's never a moment where I get to meet with him that I like don't consciously think I'm meeting with the president, you know? And I think of it every time. I don't know that there's anybody who, quote unquote, gets used to it. It's always an honor. It's always a privilege. And especially going through everything we're all going through right now, I think we all feel a tremendous sense of purpose of what we're doing in belief in America and wanting to bring America back.
Do you think he's got a great team around him now?
Yeah, I do. I love our team. I think I think he does. He's incredibly loyal to his people. So yeah, and I love everybody that I work with. I am absolutely really grateful to get to work with the folks that I work with.
Well, we're so grateful for you taking your time to be with us. It's just awesome.
Thank
to
you
hear
so
from
much for having
again.
Me. I'm really
God
honored.
Bless
it's always
you.
Always an honor to talk to you, Joe.
Thanks so much, man. That was great. Just keep up the great work. We're praying for you and we're praying for America. So thanks for being with us tonight and taking your time.
Thank you so
late
much.
Evening
talk to you
in
soon.
The U.S. Yeah, thanks a lot. This is Joe Hoff, Steve Malzberg Show. We'll take a break here for shortly.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Last week, I extolled FBI whistleblower Stephen Friend, an American hero who has been suspended by the Bureau for refusing to participate in what he regards as unnecessarily heavy-handed SWAT raids over January 6 misdemeanors. I said at the time, if FBI is not completely corrupt top to bottom, where are Friend's fellow special agents standing with him in opposing the politicization of the Department of Justice and the weaponization of FBI, and particularly its SWAT teams? Well, 30 special agents have come forward, including 5 SWAT team members. Unfortunately, they're all retired. But their support is critical and is best expressed by former agent Ernie Tibaldi, a retired agent from San Francisco, who said, "It's time to stop the FBI from being the enforcer of a political party's ideology. We need to reestablish the FBI as the apolitical and independent law enforcement entity that it always was." Amen. Couldn't agree more. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff back for Steve Malzberg here on the TNT Radio Network. That was just really a super interview with Christina Bob. She's just so sharp and so good. And she's absolutely the kind of person you would want working in your government, especially alongside your president. She is so blessed to be close to President Trump, and she knows it. But we're blessed that she's working for our president and for our country, for us. That's the kind of people that we want. So what an honor and a blessing to have her with us. In her nice little note here after the during the break here, just telling her, hey, thanks so much. We're blessed to have you, and we're blessed to have President Trump, and he's blessed, and we're blessed to have you, help, working for all of us, you and him. So she says thanks so much, and and called me a patriot. So that's certainly an honor. So again, this is Joe Hoft. I'm with I write with Gateway Pundit. I've written a number of books now, a couple books on the steel. I encourage you to go out and grab them. It was nice, Christina, put a little plug in for my book too. I know she knows so much about this election. She was out in Wisconsin, spent weeks in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, been across this country after the election and firsthand knowledge of what was going on. And I know that information is really beneficial to President Trump. It's really enlightening to hear her say that, hey, we're gonna clean house this time, and we're gonna keep every election, we're going to keep cleaning house. I was saying to somebody tonight in a more negative term, if we don't clean house in this election, which we will, which we did in 2020. And by the way, there's people like Laura Ingraham from Fox News, the day after the election, it's stolen. In the middle of the night, three states flipped with hundreds of thousands of votes. Hundreds of thousands. All of a sudden, Wisconsin and Michigan, all of a sudden, hundreds of thousands of votes, all for Joe Biden, and President Trump suddenly behind. It's like the statistical probability of that happening is like zero. And the possibility that this would happen, or the probability in multiple states at that same time, zero times zero times zero. It did not happen legitimately. And that was the thing. And then we were pressured over, we got it. Well, we got to certify. Well, it's January 6th. Well, we got to certify. And there it is. We're going to certify a corrupt and illegal and criminal and disgusting and vile election for a man who's vile. His family is vile. They are sick. They're disgusting. I talked to somebody tonight who from the Gateway Pundit, who writes there, and this person said, Biden lies with impunity. This guy lies all the time. He's talking about what a great economy it is. This guy's sick, and he's senile, and he's out to lunch. And I like what Christina said about that too. It's like, this guy's out to lunch. We all know it. This guy, he doesn't know where he's at half the time. You see these videos of him trying to get off stage? You see his wife, her job is to steer him. I mean, they had the Easter Bunny there on Easter, and she had to pull him away from that. And the Easter Bunny had to pull him away from the crowd. It's crazy world. We got the Easter Bunny directing the President of the United States currently in the White House. This guy's a clown, and I don't call Biden that name ever, because I just don't feel like he's legitimately our president. There's just no way. 81 million votes. Like I said, the record was 69 million. Trump crushed that record. That's why they had to shut things down in the middle of the night, because they had to manufacture lots of ballots real quick. And they did. And then they threw these numbers together. And then I think over the next few days or weeks, they filled the actual ballots in the boxes, because they weren't there. They had to fill these things out. There was something like 100,000 ballots that just had Joe Biden on it. That's all that was marked Joe Biden. That normally it's 1,000 or something. I've got the numbers in my book, The Steel. It's an astounding number. And like Christina said too, in Wisconsin we find that they go into these old folks' homes and they steal their vote and they vote for Joe Biden there. And that was so sick. But on the other hand, those are the weak, you know, so those are the weakest people in America. On the other hand, our strongest people, our warriors, our men in the military that are overseas, they send their ballots back, supposedly. And these things all get flipped. They're all for Joe Biden. Like in Georgia, it was something like 1,000-0 for Joe Biden. It's impossible. The military is always Republican. They're always for the Republican president because they know he'll take care of them, and he doesn't hate them like Biden does and Obama did. They hated the military. There was only one thing they liked about the military, is that they could keep them in power, and that was it. They hate the U.S. and they hate the military, and so they stole from our weakest and they stole from our strongest, and that's what they did in this last election and everything in between. And to hear Christina talk about just really all these states and these local jurisdictions where the DA had an absolute duty, a constitutional duty to step in and say, hey, we're gonna arrest people here for not allowing poll watchers to come in. I mean, that was the thing. In Philadelphia, for example, the Republicans couldn't get in the door. So they had to sue to get in the door, and then the local sheriff wouldn't enforce it when they still didn't let them in. And then 3 days later, somehow in Philadelphia, they've manufactured 1 million votes for Joe Biden because President Trump was ahead election night by 700,000 votes. At one point, it was 2 million Trump, 1 million Biden. By the end of the night, it's 700,000 votes. And then over the next 3 days, took them 3 days, all of a sudden they say, nope. Results are final. Joe Biden wins the day in Pennsylvania with 80,000 votes. They manufactured 1 million votes for Joe Biden, 1 million in a three-day period of time in Philadelphia. And you're going to tell me that's normal? Like she said, like Christina said, none of this was normal. And none of this should have been certified. I'm worried about this coming election. We can talk more about it next week when I'm on again. Next Thursday, Friday. So I hope you can dial in. But, the thing that's scary is that the Democrats are already saying, like Pelosi's saying, we're going to win the House. You got these crazy polls that say people like this communist in Georgia. And Georgia's a red state. It's not even close to being blue. In my opinion, same with Virginia and Colorado and many states around the country. They're not even close to being blue. These people hate their governors that are in these blue states, like in Seattle. They hate them for what they did under COVID with the masks and the mandates and the insane rules. You can't turn the TV on, but three people can be at a table and no more than three tables in a certain square footage area. And then, crazy stuff. And at your Thanksgiving table, you can only have six people there for the dinner at Thanksgiving. Not because it made any sense, not because there's any medical basis, because these people are freaking insane monsters. And I almost think they were trying to see who could do the craziest stuff. But nothing was more crazy than Cuomo in New York when he started saying, I'm going to mandate that all people with COVID, elderly, have to be allowed back into the elderly homes. We're not going to protect the elderly. We're going to bring COVID patients into the elderly homes, and we are going to kill the elderly. And that's, I believe, exactly what happened. And those entities in New York made tons of money having COVID patients in their homes. Of course, it wasn't safe for anybody there, let alone the nurses working there, etc. But that's what he did. And his number one donor, people don't know that his number one donor was the medical community that oversees elderly homes, this group. It's like, what is that? It's almost like they knew. They paid him so much money in his election in 2018, and he turns around and mandates that elections, that all these individuals had to be brought into these homes. It was insanity. It was sick. And that's people in New York, they don't like Cuomo. And then I could tell you stories about Cuomo. The guy's such a clown. I'll tell you a story right here. I got this from an inside source. Cuomo was after doing all that, they had like 30, 40, 50,000 people die in the state. And we don't know how many are in those old homes, were from the homes, because what they did is they started calling these people that died in the hospital that came from these homes deaths in the hospital. So we really don't know how many people died from those homes. But we do know that he put all these people into these homes that had COVID, and it turned into just a COVID bomb in these homes and in the state. And thousands of people died. And then when the numbers were due, they mangled the numbers. They said what they were, way understating the numbers. And we still don't know the true number. We still don't know. And this clown, Cuomo, who now has since lost his job due to his sexual advances on women, and here's something that nobody will tell, and I'll tell you this right now. His right-hand person, Her name was the name will grab me in a minute. He's had the highest position of a non-voted individual in a non-elected individual in the state of New York. DeRosa was her name, Melissa DeRosa. That was his girlfriend. He and her are flying back and forth from Albany together. So anyways, crazy stuff going on. Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you tonight. Have a great week. We are going to keep fighting for the truth. Thanks for listening, and Steve will be back tomorrow, and I'll be back next week. This is Joe Hoft with the Gateway Pundit and the Steve Malzberg Show. Thanks for listening in.